Good morning, everybody. You can have a seat. We are very excited today for our service. As Justine said a moment ago, we have some stories to share with you, and we're going to start today with a baptism. Baptism is sort of an initiation rite in Christianity, and it's a time where people come and proclaim that they have put their trust in Jesus. And so in a minute, you're going to see us. We're going to baptize Rohan today, and we're going to put him all the way under the water, and that is going to be a symbol that the old is gone, that we are dead to our sin, and then we're going to bring him back up, and that is a declaration that a new life has come and been given. And so in baptism, this is what we say is an outward display of an inward reality. It is outwardly proclaiming what God has done inside of somebody's life. And so we're excited for that. And I just want to remind you that when you witness that in a few minutes, here at Westside, that is not a time for you to be quiet, church people. We're celebrating and we're excited. We are reminded today that God is transforming people's lives and he continues to work in our lives. And so when you see Rohan get baptized and come up out of that water, it's a great time to praise God and to be thankful and to applaud and however you want to just show that. But feel free to be loud and excited because it is exciting. Rohan, would you come on up here? And before we baptize you, share a bit of your story with everyone.
Hi everyone, good morning. So my story in a way began around 3 years ago when I left the known and embraced unknown, in a way when I moved to Canada for my MBA. And before that, life was good, friends were around, family was around, everything was going as planned. I came here, everything was new, and my de facto approach towards life at that point of time was, I just need to work my way out of everything. Everything is in my control, and I just relied on that when I came here as well. And when one thing added on top of another thing, on another thing, and I had so many things in my hand. First, courses, MBAs, in a way more like demanding in terms of programs. That was one thing. Then I had to do part-time along with that to sustain my life here. On top of that, I had to apply for multiple internships throughout the program, which was again a very difficult task. Whoever is in undergrad might know that. And so I kept doing that for almost 8-9 months, a year, and at that point, I was so numb in life, like I was not thinking about anything, not doing anything extra, just doing bare minimum what I need to do, keep doing that. And I came towards the end of my MBA last fall. And at that point, I was so done and I just did not know what to do. Whatever I was doing, it was not working. I was not getting anywhere. And I just felt like I made a huge mistake. I don't know what to do next, how to get out of everything. Whatever I tried, nothing was getting in place. Things were just staying wherever they were. And it just got to me. I used to wake up every day with like extreme loneliness, disconnected from everything. I did not even talk to my friends back in India or even here as well. I did not talk to my parents that frequently because I did not want to stress them as well, because they are in India, they cannot do anything while I'm here. And so the life just spiraled down for me very quickly at that point. And I was graduating in 3 months and I had to find a full-time job because I had to pay my tuition, education loans. And after that, I had things planned in my life and I was just stressing about it, and I got to a very low point in life, and I had never discussed that with any of my friends as well here. But one day I was out of nowhere, I was talking to Amrita and we ended up discussing my situation in detail. One thing led to another, and at the end she recommended like I join her to church for one Sunday. I never went to any religious place before that. As I said, I used to believe I need to work my way out of everything. So I came reluctantly at first, And I listened to Pastor Dave and his sermon, and something motivated me to come the next Sunday as well. So I came next Sunday, I listened again, I came next Sunday, and slowly, slowly the message in sermon of love and hope started to resonate with me. I started to implement like small, small changes in life, like how I look at life, how my thought process is about life and different things that happen in life. And slowly, slowly that just made me realize there was something bigger at play in my life and not everything was in my control. And I don't have to control everything. So I kept doing that. I kept coming. I kept improving. I kept adopting small, small values that I learned from sermons. And I also started praying. And me and Amrita used to have a lot of discussions in spirituality as well as religion. And it's just like brought me a lot of positivity. And I got out of that slump that I was in. I started to connect with my family and friends again. I started to connect with my friends over in Canada as well. So that brought me a lot of happiness. With that, I also started to connect with a church family here as well around 4 or 5 months ago. Because before that, I used to come, I used to say hi and then just leave. But the more positive I became, I was more motivated to talk to more and more people. So that was a great thing for me. And time went by, slowly, slowly, opportunities started opening up. I did not think I would get my full-time job quickly because a lot of my friends are still looking for jobs, but it happened for me and I'm so grateful for that. There were a few more personal problems in my life, but even they got resolved and I did not have to do much for that. At one point, I was trying a lot and I was tired, but things just fell into place. And that resonated and that strengthened my belief like, okay, I just do need to do my part and God will take care of the rest and He has a plan for me. So that belief just gets stronger and stronger every day. And today I'm here to announce my faith in Jesus Christ publicly and to start a new beginning with Christian values and share the love with everybody else around me. And at the end, I would like to share two messages, very short ones, which I embraced here itself, and they are from our recent series, Identity Crisis. And I believe those two I will keep at the center of my life and how to lead my life through those two values. First is, we are created to be the reflection of God. And second, you cannot give what you don't have. And you cannot have what you don't give. That's all. Thank you.
It's been amazing to hear how God's been working in your life and how He's brought you here to be part of our church family and what God has done to bring you into His family and to show you His love and grace and forgiveness, and for you to know that His Spirit is with you. So today, I ask you, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and committed your life to following Him?
Yes, I have.
Then it is my great privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
What an incredible start to our morning. Baptism Sundays are always so, so special, and to see God transform and change lives, and we get to witness that and celebrate in community. Absolutely incredible. I'm just going to keep our service rolling with a few more stories. And my name is Zach, if we haven't met, and I work with our youth and young adults here at the church. And I would actually like to invite Peter and Elise to come make their way to the front. And as they do, we're going to be just talking a little bit of the Alpha course, specifically at McMaster University. So for those of you who don't know what Alpha is about, it's a space and an environment that is created for anyone to come. It's open, it's free, judgment-free space where people can ask their questions. There's no small or big question about life, faith, meaning, dive deeper. It's an incredible opportunity to run these courses. So us at Westside, we run one on Wednesday, and at MAC, they run one on Tuesday. So I hand you guys this mic. And first off, I would love just to hear from both of you. Just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're studying at MAC, where's home for you, et cetera. You can start, Elise.
Hi, I'm Elise. I'm in my fourth year at McMaster for neuroscience. And I would say home for me is Toronto. That's where I was before I moved here for school. But I've been attending Westside on and off since first year, and then more regularly from the beginning of this year.
Yeah, hey everyone, my name is Peter, and I'm a first year medical student at McMaster, so I already graduated my undergrad, which I also did at McMaster. And I'm actually a Hamilton native, so I've been around. I used to grow up at my parents' home church, which is also in Hamilton up the mountain. But recently I've been exploring new churches and I've kind of found my place at Westside a little bit.
Fun fact, I've known Peter since he was, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years old.
Oh yeah, I used to go to the kids club here on Tuesdays. That happened like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was wild. Yeah. So to see run into Peter on campus, it was really cool to have a little reunion there.
Yeah.
Awesome, okay. Before we move on to the next thing, I actually wanted to ask you another question, personal question. When did your faith become really important to you? If you can each share.
I grew up in a Christian household, so I count myself very blessed to have my parents explain a lot of Christianity to me. But I would say that I didn't really understand that my faith was a personal relationship with Jesus until I started going to my youth group. So that was around grade 7, and I feel like it just completely changed how I saw what it meant to love like Jesus did, and to like be renewed by God. It just had a completely new meaning to me when I saw other people around me live so differently.
Awesome.
Yeah, and as for myself, I think it was more like a gradual process. I don't have a specific moment that I can recall that everything started to change for me. But I grew up in the church, so I learned about all these things. But like Elise was mentioning, I don't think I developed a personal relationship with God until maybe middle school, high school time, in which I think the most important thing was like an increasing recognition of the weight of my sin. I started to understand like how deep it was, how pervasive it was, and how I couldn't overcome it by myself. And parallel to that was the increasing understanding of like the power of the cross, how much I needed God, how much I need to rely on God in order to overcome this. And so that's when I would say my faith became really important.
That's awesome. Okay, so September 3rd and 4th was Clubs Fest at McMaster campus, and Westside Church typically has a table there for a couple of days just to let some students know that we exist, where we are, and to invite them to church. And during that time, these two were also at a separate booth on campus for a Christian fellowship. And in that moment, I found out there was an alpha running on campus. And as soon as I heard that, I was incredibly encouraged and excited to see that students were being bold and going out there and trusting and leaning on God fully to run this space with not a lot of experience, but with a lot of trust and faith to say, we're gonna rent a room, we're gonna put promo out there, we're gonna put it on social media, see who shows up. So those days when I was on campus, I was asking them all about it, how can Westside help? And it's led to this point this morning, and you're 4 weeks in, I believe. And so I want them to unpack that a little bit more. So how did Alpha exactly start at MAC?
Yeah, so I think the idea to run Alpha and MAC is not my idea. It's really God inspiring me through people around me. And when I'm currently serving on my university fellowship as an executive role, but when I was nominated, someone came up to me and said, "Hey, Lise, if you decide to run Alpha for the newcomers ministry, I would love to serve." So that put Alpha in my head. I the gears started turning. And one Sunday, I decided to ask the welcome team at Westside if there's anyone I could talk to about advice for running Alpha. I've never done it before. I've only attended. So they pointed me to Steve and Ruth Cox, and I had such an encouraging conversation, like personally. And they said a lot of stuff about Alpha, but one of the things they said was, maybe you can think of running Alpha as an interfellowship collaboration with clubs like PTC. They've run it at other campuses before. And I was like, that's a great idea. So I pitched that to my executive team, and they were down. And just a few days later, another fellowship on campus reached out to us and was like, God has really placed it on my heart to run Alpha and to do campus evangelism through that. And we want to do it in collaboration with you guys and other fellowships at MAC. So the timing was kind of crazy for something that I've been thinking about for months. And then there was PTC that we asked, and they had also come to the same conclusion, but independently, of wanting to run Alpha Interfellowship. And yeah, so I remember going into the first few meetings and feeling so excited about doing Alpha, even though I didn't know much. And I was so thankful for the unity that God gave us in our meetings and between different clubs. And yeah, there's so much I can say, but like truly God has provided so much, even from like the timing of meeting, like talking to Zach about it, because it was always on my mind that I need to reach out to people for support, but I never did it because I was so busy. And Zach came to me and offered a space for the retreat, offered to help with meals. And yeah, even when I don't do my part the best, don't reach out to people in time, God still is so good and has provided for us.
So good. We have some photos, actually, if the team wants to cycle through those, of some of the turnouts and kind of what it looks like to run Alpha at MAC. And while they're looping through, can you share a little bit about the current state of Alpha? Any stories, anything that you've seen happen?
Yeah, so we've been running Alpha for 4 weeks now. Our first event had a lot of turnout, and we have a little bit of fluctuating numbers nowadays, but definitely a few who return frequently every single week, and so are going through the whole course and getting that full experience. And I think it's been going very well. We've had a lot of engagement in our discussions, and a lot of Christians and non-Christians alike coming. I think what was most surprising for us was the fact that a lot of Christians actually ended up coming to Alpha, even though it's targeted towards non-Christians. But we've kind of taken that as a form of a blessing, in that we were trying to adapt to that situation as well, that there was a lot of Christians who maybe were newer to the faith or didn't really understand a lot. I know in my group, there was a lot of newer Christians, and they had a lot of questions about like what the Trinity was, and we kind of struggled to explain that, to be honest. But they had questions about the Holy Spirit, and I thought it was just so great that they had a place that they could come to and get their questions answered as well. I think what was most encouraging for me, and I think Elise probably shares this sentiment, was I spoke with one of the members, or one of the people who attended Alpha, and she was saying how she felt like Alpha was the first place where she could share opinions without being judged. And that really was our goal for Alpha, for people to, from different faith backgrounds, non-Christian, Christians, to come and share what there was on their mind, their opinions, and kind of learn from each other and get curious about God. And so I'm so grateful, so thankful that God's able to work through our campus, work through the leaders, and bring people to Alpha, and just to talk and engage in discourse with each other.
Do you have anything, Elise? That's good. You're good? Okay. All right. And the last thing, what are your hopes for the remaining weeks left, and any ways we can practically support you guys?
So running Alpha is definitely a lot of work. It's weekly, and so every week there's things to do, and it lasts for about 12 weeks. But I remember the first time we had a meeting, and I was praying as I was driving to the meeting, and I think I always have my own hopes, things that I want to happen. But as I was praying, I was thinking that, you know, this is about glorifying God and not about me doing well as someone running a program. And yeah, I realized that if just one person gets closer to God, or if just one person believes in God, it'll make everything so worth it, and they're worth celebrating and rejoicing over. And so I guess that's my prayer, that God would open hearts at Alpha, because we can't do that. We can just provide the space. And that's something that I've been asking people around me to join me in prayer with.
Amazing.
And just the last thing, for us, like how you guys can support us at Alpha McMaster. Of course, we have these prayer requests, so if you could pray for us, that would be very great. And the other thing is, if you know somebody at McMaster who is not a Christian, or maybe is still exploring the faith, we totally invite you to share with them about Alpha at McMaster and invite them to come out. We'd be happy to take them and you know, learn about God together with them.
Amazing. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Let me pray for you, and we'll continue on in our service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Peter and Elise and the team behind Alpha at Mac. And just thank you for their courage and boldness already to be 4 weeks in. God, we pray that you give them endurance, strength, and perseverance in inviting friends and continuing to promote it on social media, and just all the behind the scenes of running these videos and logistics of meal planning. God, just empower them and give them strength where energy may be lacking, and where it feels like it's just getting tough week in and week out. Just build them up, encourage them, allow them to have churches in this community to surround them, to help them, to support them through prayer, food, and just encouraging them, God. So, and be with all those that attend. Again, would you open their hearts, soften their hearts, to be open to learning more about you and your goodness in their life. And God, as we turn this over to Dave, pray be with him as we take and speak about communion and partake in that together. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a great day to be reminded of how God works in people's lives and how God continues to reach out to call to us and to forgive us, to save us, to welcome us into his family. That's the kind of God we have. We have the God of love. And today we're going to take communion together. If that's new to you, there's a couple of elements. One is a little piece of bread, which is representative of the body of Christ. And one is a cup that you can drink from, which is representative of the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sin. And we do this regularly in order to remember Jesus and how much God loves us and how he has forgiven us and welcomed us into his family. We've heard stories about how God is sharing that message to people at McMaster, here at Westside, and what a privilege it is to hear those stories and to be reminded that this message is transformative. It gives you new life when you receive it and when you accept it. Today, if you are new to all of this, there's no pressure for you to participate in communion in a few minutes when we do that. You can just sit and relax if you want. You can contemplate on some of the things that you've heard this morning. But today, if you are hungry for God's presence, and you're hungry for his forgiveness of your sin, if you're hungry for what God could do in your life, you are invited to participate, to come and take the bread that is the body of Christ that's given for you, and the blood that is the forgiveness of your sins, and to know that you are loved by God, that he is with us, and that he is for us. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." For just a couple of minutes, I want to talk about our experience of being hungry. We've all experienced it. And what I'm going to do is just talk about physically what it's like to be hungry sometimes. And what I would invite you to do is, as I talk about that physical experience that we've all had, for you to just think if some of these descriptors are maybe true of you in your life, but on a deeper level, maybe on a spiritual and emotional level, some of the things that we talk about physically being hungry might be true for you. And it's a great metaphor, being hungry physically, because we all know what it's like. But as I talk about it physically, just ask yourself in your life, perhaps are there signs where you are hungry? Today, the gift that God gives us is Jesus. And in Jesus, his presence and his forgiveness is redemption. What we bring is our hunger and a posture of receiving all that God has for us. So when we're hungry, we feel all kinds of things. Sometimes when we're hungry, we feel angry, impatient, irritated. When we do, in those states, we often become kind of selfish. We seek to meet our own needs because those are reminders that our needs have not been met. And so it's easy for us when we're hungry to think a lot about of ourselves, about what we want, about what we are not getting, what we don't have, because we feel the impatience and the irritations and even anger. If you go a little bit longer without food and maybe your blood sugar drops a little bit, you might feel weak and tired. You might not have the energy to do the things that you need to do. You might get kind of shaky. And it's possible that if you haven't eaten for long enough, you might even faint because you don't have the energy anymore. Sometimes when we're hungry, we get tempted. We're tempted for things that are quick, easy, and convenient. You've experienced this maybe. You get hungry, but you haven't prepared anything. A meal is not ready and waiting for you at home. Maybe you're out and about. Maybe you're really busy. And so you say, what can I get right now? What's quick? What's easy? What can fill me up? And so maybe you stop for some fast food. And fast food tastes great. And it is quick, and it's easy, and it's convenient. And we all do it. It's fine. But if that became a routine for you, if that became how you get your meals, always quick and easy and convenient, you'd find out that that is not healthy. There's a lot of empty calories that we get filled up, but it doesn't actually help us grow or get stronger or meet the needs that we really feel when we're hungry. We say this to our kids all the time. Maybe we're making dinner, we're getting ready, and our kids are hungry, and they come in, and I want a snack, can I just have a cookie, And we tell them, no, we don't want you to ruin your dinner. And what we're saying is, we need you to be patient, we need you to wait. Don't ruin your dinner with something that's not healthy for you, because I need you to eat the things that will really nourish your body and help you grow and get everything that you need. There's something better for you. We just need you to wait a little while. When we're hungry enough, and for long enough, we get sick, malnourished. And if you're malnourished, that'll lead to unhealthy weight loss, muscle loss, trouble concentrating, decreased immune system, and even organ failure. In short, our ability to function will worsen and worsen, and our physical lives over time will shrink away. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Maybe some of those physical symptoms we just talked about resonate with you on a deeper level, and you would say, I am hungry. I come today hungry. And if you do, we want to remind you today that Jesus is the bread of life, that you bring the hunger, and you can come and eat and drink and be satisfied. That same passage, but skipping down to verse 50, Jesus says, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Many of us, we're here in a city, and many of us are city people or suburban people. Mostly we get our food in stores. It comes packaged. We're fairly disconnected in general from the process of how the food became our food. But to Jesus' original audience, when he said these things, he was speaking to agrarian people, mostly farmers who were mostly poor, people who didn't have convenience stores or fast food restaurants or even supermarkets, people who grew their food, made their food, and ate their food. One of the things that perhaps they would understand a little better than most of us, unless maybe you've grown up or work on a farm, is that for the most part, other than maybe some vitamins or minerals, our food dies so that we won't. As Jesus said, he gives himself for the life of the world. He was talking about the fact that he would die on the cross to offer love and forgiveness, to show a self-sacrificing love and care for the world that he loves. Farmers understand that our food dies for us so that we won't. if that's meat, it's because an animal has given its life for you so that you could eat and be nourished and have protein and all the other things. Even if it's a vegetable, it's a plant that has been harvested and that, in a sense, gives its life so that we can eat and be nourished. This is what Jesus says he is doing as he gives his life for the life of the world so that you and I can eat the bread from heaven. You and I, on a deep spiritual level, can be satisfied. So today, be nourished by these two realities. Number one, God is with us. He is present. We are not alone, and he invites us to eat. That is, to take in and digest his presence. He didn't just give us a book to read about that reality or a picture of it. He said, come, I am the bread of life. You eat, that is, chew, ingest, digest. I want my presence to become part of you in the deepest way. That's what will give you the strength to grow. It's offered to you, a communion with God himself. And secondly, the reality that God is for us, that in Jesus we see that God brings us into communion because he loves us, because he wants good for us, because he delights in us. He is working out all things for our good. He is for us by forgiving us and redeeming us and empowering us in his compassion, that we can come hungry and we can even come with our sins and to confess them and then to receive forgiveness. When he says to drink my blood, which is a gross thought and it's supposed to be shocking, to say, drink in his love and forgiveness and his grace. Allow that to go into your body, to be digested, and to become part of who you are. So Jesus said, when they asked, how do we do that? What do we have to do to receive that bread and that drink? How do we appropriate that for ourselves? What do we do? They want to work, because farmers know if you want food, you have to work for it. And Jesus said this, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent, that you trust him, that you trust that Jesus has done this for you. This is a gift that you receive. And today, maybe it's for the first time for you. Maybe it is something that you are receiving on and on and on and over and over and over. The invitation is to come and to eat and to drink. So I'm going to ask our band to come and those who are going to serve. We have two stations at the front. They're both the same. You can come up on your side and to take that piece of bread and to be reminded that Jesus is the bread of life. Come and eat. And to take the cup and to drink, and Jesus says, this is my blood for the forgiveness of sin. Be reminded that God loves you and has forgiven you. And perhaps in these moments, you'll take a couple of moments to reflect and to offer those things to him, to perhaps by prayer, to ask for forgiveness and to receive once again that grace. When you're ready, come on up and take the elements. You can take them back to your seat. And as we just have some quiet music and then some time to sing, when you're ready to go ahead and eat and to drink, to ingest and to digest this powerful message that God has for us, to be reminded of all that Jesus has done for us. And so, Heavenly Father, we say thank you today. Thank you for the body and the blood of Jesus given for us and shed for us. Today, thank you that we know your presence, that you are with us. We know your love, that you are for us. May that message resound in our hearts as we receive. Would it give us life and strength and vitality as we know your spirit is with us, empowering all that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.